invite you to turn with me this morning to the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 5. And then we want to read two passages from the prophecy of Isaiah. Matthew, chapter 5, and we shall begin our reading at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now from Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57. And verse 15. One of those great passages in the Old Testament. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Now from Isaiah chapter 66, the last chapter in the prophecy of Isaiah, the second verse, the last half of the verse, where the Lord says, But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Again, let us read that. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and who trembleth at my word. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Now let us pray. Father, we recognize that this is the word of the Lord. Our Lord could say, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Teach us, O Lord, what it means, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The basic religious question that we must face is that of our relation to God. How can man be just with God? How can man be right with a holy one? Now, it is not simply the question, how can man be just with God? But it is, how can sinful man be just with God? In the final analysis, sin is always against God. And the essence of sin is to be against God, for it is rebellion against him. Therefore, the person who is against God cannot be right with God. For if we are against God, then God is against us. Now, it can't be otherwise. God cannot be indifferent, nor can he be complacent towards that which is a contradiction of himself. And sin is a contradiction against the holiness of God. The very perfections of God, it recoils against sin with righteous indignation. That is what is known in Scripture as the wrath of God. In Romans 1, verse 17, we read, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now the answer to this question, of course, is that we cannot be right with God because we are all wrong with God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this is exactly why Jesus began where he began in his great teaching. And the great teaching ministry begins in Matthew 5. And when he opened his mouth, he said something that's most significant. He said, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is because this is man's condition our Lord began where he began. So we want to examine this first beatitude that characterizes a child of God, for only a child of God is blessed, happy. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is so important because God is far more interested in what I am than in what I do. And we want to ask the question, first of all, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? And we want to answer that question first by saying what it doesn't mean to be poor in spirit. What the poverty of spirit is not. We need to grasp this. We need to begin with this, with a negative. Because the thinking in 20th century America, in the latter part of 20th century America, is just the opposite of this. Now, to be poor in spirit or does not mean that we should be retiring, that we're weak, and that we're naturally this way. We have to keep this before us because there are people who are naturally reticent in their temperament and in their approach. And that is not what he's talking about. And it also doesn't mean that we are a Uriah Heep. Now, I don't know if you know who Uriah Heep was. I was reading the exposition of the Sermon on the Mount by Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones this week. And in his exposition on the poor in spirit, he talks about Uriah Heep. And I don't know. I've always tempted to ask, but Uriah Heep was that character in David Copperfield, in Charles Dickens' work, who was a slimy little character, and he was always coming up, "You know, Mr. Copperfield, I'm a very humble man, Mr. Copperfield." And he was always spouting his humility. And the man who is spouting his humility is just the opposite of this, what it means to be poor in spirit. And I can just hear him saying, "I'm just a humble man, Mr. Copperfield." Now, what our Lord is speaking about here is not a natural trait. He is speaking of that which is supernatural. It is only had by the new birth. It is something that is inwrought in the believer. You cannot be this way naturally. It is that which comes as a gift of God. It is inwrought by the Spirit of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we notice what being poor in spirit is not, very briefly. Now let us look at what being poor in spirit is. And again, I deal with a negative, for it is the opposite of that haughty, self-assertive, and self-sufficient disposition which the world so much admires and which the world so much desires. We see it on every hand today, especially in commercials. It is the very reverse, friends, of that independent and defiant attitude that refuses to obey God and determines to brave things out and would say with Pharaoh, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" For that's what Pharaoh said when Moses went into him. And he says, "Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go." And Pharaoh defiantly said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" And this is that self-assertive attitude that is so prevalent in the world today, who says, "And I deserve that." And always speaking of that which is good, that proud and haughty self-assertive attitude. To be poor in spirit, friends, it is to realize that I have nothing. It is to realize that I am nothing. It is to realize that I can do nothing, but I am in need of all things. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I'm always reminding myself of those seven texts for preachers. There are seven great texts in the New Testament that every preacher should have memorized. I'm not speaking of those who don't profess to be preachers, but anyone who would go to the platform to preach to others should have these texts memorized. First text, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. We brought nothing into the world. What a text. We brought nothing into the world. Do you realize that? And the reason that preachers need to memorize this is because preachers are put on a platform and they're put on a pedestal and on a plateau by others in their thinking. But we need to remember, we brought nothing into this world. The second text is in John chapter 3 and verse 27 that says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. I could spend all day on that text. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. The next text is in John 6 and verse 63. The flesh profiteth nothing. And whenever you have an idea to be proud about yourself, and it reminds you of the preacher who was driving home from church with his wife, and a wife is a good thing. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and shall obtain favor of the Lord. And he was feeling so proud of his sermon that night, he said to his wife, you know, there are not too many of us good preachers left anymore. And she said to him, yes, and I think there's one less than you have in mind. The flesh profiteth nothing. Do we believe that? The next text, John chapter 15 and verse 5. Without me ye can do nothing. So says our Lord. The next text, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. If a man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, as he ought to know. Oh, what a text. The next text is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And that brings us back to where we began. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. We have to use it again. The beginning, the first verse we quoted says, we brought nothing into the world. The last half of that verse says, and we shall carry nothing out. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poverty of spirit is to recognize our nothingness, our emptiness before God. You see, God's salvation is free. It has to be. If God put a price tag on salvation, there isn't a man in the world who could afford it. No, not one. And God, in His infinite grace, His salvation is without money and without price. But isn't it amazing the way our Lord began His great sermon? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we need to ask ourselves a question. Why is someone who is poor in spirit blessed? Listen to me now. Because no one in the kingdom of God is there who is not poor in spirit. No one ever enters the kingdom of God who is not poor in spirit. For you see, this is a fundamental characteristic of the child of God, of the citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And all the other Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 find their source in this one. Why are they who are poor in spirit called blessed? Well, this becomes a testimony of the saints of old. We sang this morning that great hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6 for a moment. Here we want to look at Isaiah, this great prophet. He's called the evangelical prophet because of the greatness of his writings and because they are so full of the work of our blessed Lord, his person and his work. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read in the opening verse, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And that little word also is so important. King Uzziah had lived and reigned as one of Israel's great kings, Judah's great king. He reigned for 52 years, and God prospered him abundantly, but he died a leper. He died a leper because of his pride. He died a leper because he intruded into that which was not his, into the priest's office. God separated the priesthood from the kingship in Israel. No king could be a priest, and no priest could be a king. Thanks be unto God, they're united in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, he intruded into the priest's office, the priest couldn't stop him, and God smote him with leprosy. In the year that he died, God gave Isaiah a picture, a vision of himself. And we read here, I saw also the Lord. How did he see him? Sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above the train and the throne stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. I want you to think those words through. Woe is me, for I am undone. It's one thing to see the king who dies a leper, but it's another thing to see the Lord who is the Holy One of Israel. And Isaiah cries out, Woe is me! And in the language of 20th century America, we'd say, Isaiah, what do you mean? You're a man of unclean lips. You have the best lips in the nation. You're the prophet of God. You don't have a good self-image, Isaiah. You haven't listened to our psychologists. Your self-image is poor. What do you mean, woe is me? Woe is me. He says, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord. I beheld the holiness of God. He says, and I have a leprous mouth. I saw the king die a leper. But my mouth is leprous. I have been pronouncing woes upon others. But now, I'm the problem. Woe is me. Oh, how easy it is to condemn others. How easy it is for us to see the problems in others. But as we stand before God, as we hear God, the Lord, speaking in this first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I have to listen to myself. Woe is me. I am undone. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, our problem is that of the people in Isaiah 57, that text that we read. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, God is speaking and he says, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. See, God tells us something in this text. He tells us that He dwells at two places. He is the high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity. He dwells in the high and the holy place. That's one place. And you and I know that we can't attain to that by any of our efforts. But then he adds, but I also dwell with him that's poor and of a crushed spirit. That's what that word contrite means. It means to be crushed by the awesomeness of God. But you see, in 20th century America, we see that God is in the high and the holy place, but he also says he's with him that's crushed. But I don't want to be crushed. I don't want to be made humble. God, I want you to meet me somewhere in between. And that's where the church is today. We're trying to get God to meet us somewhere in between. And it won't work. God says these are the two places. And that's why our beatitude says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, therefore in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, that text that we read, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. And God says that to these people, because they didn't delight in the things that he delighted in. And if you read the next three verses in Isaiah 66, they had no more thought and no more feeling when they went to the altar of the Lord where the sacrifice was slain that typified Christ than if they slew a pig. That's what God says of his people in that passage. So you see, the testimony of the saints of old agrees with that of our Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Job, in Job chapter 42, verses 5 and 6, after Job could silence his three miserable comforters who had a lot to say to Job. Oh, he could win the argument over them, but God took Job aside and he spoke to him out of a tornado, out of the whirlwind. That must have been an awesome sight for Job, to see that storm gather on the horizon and to come up and then to have the whirlwind come down. And people who have been near a tornado can never get over the awesomeness of the wind, what it's able to do. And out of that whirlwind, God speaks to Job. And he says, Job, you're a pretty big fellow in your own eyes. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, you see that eagle up there on its nest? Tell it to fly. Does the eagle fly at your command, Job? Job, are you listening to me? He said, which morning did the light break because you commanded it? And Job cries out to God in Job chapter 42, and he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. I've heard people talking about you. But now mine eyes seeth thee, and I repent. In dust and ashes I abhor myself. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, in closing this morning, I'd like to say a few things. First, friends, it is an essential part of the gospel that conviction precedes conversion. No one ever gets saved who doesn't learn that they're lost. And no one ever receives that graciousness of being received by the holiness of God who has never seen himself as Isaiah did and as Job did, as poor in spirit and in absolute need of that which only God can supply. And our God cries out to men, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, come buy and eat, without money and without price, for the salvation of God is free. Come, 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 blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You see, this first beatitude in Matthew 5 is a clear statement of justification by faith. Who comes? The man who really believes it. The man and the preacher who believes those seven texts that are read. And the person sitting in the pew who realizes these seven texts have to do with me just as well. For that's where the preacher came from. He came from among the people. For the word of God says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." He came from among the people. So if they deal with him, they deal with me as well. Now, a very quick question. How do I become poor in spirit? How do I become poor in spirit? I can't make myself, can I? How do I become poor in spirit? I become poor in spirit, friends, by looking at the holiness of God. You see, the real problem in religion is one of relationship. How can a sinful man be right, be just with God? How can I be poor in spirit? It is to look at God, to recognize the demands of holiness and justice, and then to lay hold of that which is provided by Christ in the gospel. Now the righteousness of God is revealed. It is manifested in the person of Christ. And the person who realizes he is nothing, he has nothing, and he can do nothing, we come just as we are and receive our all in Christ. It has pleased the Father, friend, that in him all fullness should dwell. And it is from him that we receive. That's exactly what he said to the woman of Samaria, didn't he? He said to that woman who had had five husbands and was living with one who wasn't her husband, he said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, you would ask of him and he would give you living water." He gives. He gives. He gives. And you see, poverty of spirit then becomes a reality. And we appreciate the free grace of God that is offered in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for the ungodly. And they who realize that they're lost, who realize that they're ungodly, they come and they receive and they become happy because their spirit is poor and their spirits have been revived, as we read in Isaiah 57:15, because God will dwell there. My friend, are you his? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think there are two stanzas of a hymn we need to sing this morning from Hymn number 514. 514. And I want to read these stanzas before we sing them. For we need to lay hold of this truth. 514. Stanza number 3 says, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint. Heal the sick and lead the blind. just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. That's true poverty of spirit, friend. Thou art full of truth and grace. And the blessing comes in the next verse. Plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. My friend, if you're here without Christ, when you see yourself as you really are, and you realize that this is found in the person of Christ, you turn to Him, and you receive life abundant. Have you turned? Will you turn? Now let's pray together before we sing. And now our Father, search us with this word. May we realize that no one ever enters the kingdom who is not poor in spirit. Oh, that we may lay this to heart, and may it please thee, our God, to convict of sin, in order that if there are any outside of Christ, that they may sweetly come. And for those of us who are in Christ, take this word and bless it to every heart, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's stand together and sing as these last two stanzas as Brother Rick leads us.